Our scripture tonight is Luke 5, 1 to 16. Luke 5, 1 to 16. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. They prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged them to tell no man, but go and shew forth thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses' commandment for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad from him. And a great multitude came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. With these thoughts on our mind, let's kneel for a word of prayer.
We greet each one of you this evening in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This evening we continue our study of the book of Luke. The title for the sermon this evening is God's Way Your Way? Is God's Way Your Way? Often when this text in Luke 5 is considered and preached upon, mission is the main topic of it, and mission work, and calling people to the mission field. And that's certainly appropriate. But tonight, we'd like to look at it a little differently. Tonight in the text, there are two men, the Apostle Peter and a leper. Two men, and each of them are faced with a question. Are they willing to make God's way their way? And that's the same question I'd ask you tonight. As we go through the sermon, are you willing to make God's way your way? Will you obey God? Will you say, not my will, but thy will be done? Are you willing to make God's way your way? Reading from Luke chapter 5, we'd like to look first at the first two verses. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Tonight's account finds us by the Sea of Galilee, and a typical seaside morning. The boats were pulling up to the shore after a long night of fishing. Josephus tells us there might have been as many as 123 boats there that morning. It was a typical seaside scene. The fishermen had finished fishing for the night, and they were drying their nets in the sun, mending their nets where they had torn. They were washing up their boats. They were cleaning up after a night of fishing. The scene we could find at any seaside town even today, I believe. Cleaning up after a night of fishing. Yet it was a very different morning because Jesus was there. Jesus was there and he had drawn a great crowd. A crowd had come to hear him teach, to hear him preach. And it interrupted a typical day for these fishermen. Reading from verse 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The crowd had become so large, and they pressed up against him so much, there was no room on the seashore. And so he asked Simon if he would take him out a little ways into the shallow water that he could teach from the boat. Verse 4 and 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net. It was a typical morning. And in that typical morning, the command from the master comes to Peter. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. The command must have seemed ridiculous to Peter, I would think. It made absolutely no sense at all. Peter, the fisherman, knew that the fish were caught in the shallow water at night, not in the deep water by day. Simon, the fisherman, knew that it was opposite all the common sense, everything that he ever was taught about fishing. It was opposite. What went through the mind of Simon Peter, I don't know. What was he tempted to say? What would you have said? He could have said, but Master, I fished all night long, and I'm too tired to go on this fool's errand now. I worked all night. He could have said, you're just a carpenter. I'm an expert fisherman. He could have said, we just got everything all cleaned up and put away, and now you're asking me to get it all back out again. What went through Peter's mind, I don't know. The only thing recorded here in our scripture is where he says, Master, we have toiled all night. That's it. That's all he said. Master, we have worked all night. Can you hear the futility, the waste in his voice? It made no sense to Peter, the command of the master. I get the feeling he wanted nothing at all with getting the nets back out and going fishing. You see, Peter was at a crossroad, and each of us face that many times each day, don't we? Do we do what God tells us to do, or do we do what we feel like doing? Do we do God's will, or do we do our own will? Do we follow God's way, or do we do it our way? It was decision time for Peter. Should he obey the master? Many times for you every day, it's decision time. It's decision time. Maybe you're facing one in your life right now. Will you obey God and do it his way? Or will you do it your way? Maybe you're being called to the mission field. It's decision time for you. Maybe you're being called to love an enemy at work. It's decision time for you. Will you do it your way or God's way? Maybe you're being called to deal with sin in your life. Deal with the sin of pride. Maybe you're being called to forgive someone that's altogether unlovely and unforgiveness worthy. It's decision times. The applications you can make in your life are endless. Whatever decision you're struggling with tonight, will you choose God's way or your own? I don't know if it's because of the political season that we're in, but I hear a number of accounts of abortion lately. It was decision time for mothers. These were two accounts I recently heard. A mother was told that her baby was going to die at birth. There was no way the baby could live. And encouraged to have an abortion. It was a common sense thing to do. It was decision time for that mother. Would she obey God? Or would she do the convenient thing and perhaps the common sense thing? I heard of another mother that was told her baby was severely retarded, would require constant care and perhaps die at a very young age. It was decision time for that mother. What would she do? What would she do? Would she choose God's way of life and love? Or would she choose her own way of common sense and convenience? Perhaps you're facing a decision this evening. Which one will it be? Will it be God's way or your own way? I wonder how often we say no to God. We say, I won't. We say, you're crazy. We say, it's too hard. I'm too tired. It makes no sense. I won't do it. Simon could have said that, but his response brings tears to my eyes as I think of it. Isn't it beautiful? Simon, you see, makes God's way his way. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will launch out into the deep and I will let down the net. How I pray for each of you that would be your response tonight as you're facing a decision in your life. Won't you say yes to the Master tonight? Say yes to him, whether you agree with him or not. Say yes, whether it makes sense or not. Say yes, whether you understand it completely or not. Many times in life, we're asked to take that small step of faith and say yes to God, even though we don't see how or why or know why. Will your response be yes tonight to God, even if it looks scary, even though it makes no sense, even though you may have a better way? You see, Peter was asked to give up all he wanted, all his desires, all that he thought was right. He was asked to give them up, obey the Master, and launch out into the deep. Will you? Will you? It's a challenging thought, isn't it? It's a scary thought. Absolute submission to the will of God. I thought of two other times when Jesus commanded the disciples to get in the boat. Do you remember them? One was in Mark 4, verse 35. He commanded them to get into the boat, and he said, let us pass over and go to the other side. He got in the boat with them that time. Do you remember what happened? They hit a storm. In obeying God's command, they hit a storm. Verse 37 of Mark 4 says, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat against the ship." Matthew's account says the ship was covered with waves and that it was already filling up with water. Luke's account said they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy for obeying Jesus' command. Mark 6:45. Again, Jesus asked his disciples to get into the boat. He says he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side, and they obeyed. Do you remember what happened? A great windstorm came up, and they rowed all night long against the wind and the waves. And in the middle of the night, they had only made it halfway across. The wind was against them. The waves were beating them. They obeyed Jesus, and yet they were in a storm. In tonight's account, in verse 6 or 7, Simon Peter obeyed Jesus, and this is what happened. "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." In our account tonight, the way of obedience, brought a great catch of fish. So great a catch that the nets were breaking. They had to call for help to get them in. In the accounts of Mark that we talked about, obedience led to the way of hardship and trial and fear. You need to understand clearly tonight that the path of obedience may bring temporary prosperity, as it did Peter in our account. The haul may be great, or it may bring temporary hardships, as the other two times our Lord asked the disciples to go into the boat. Brothers and sisters, you need to look beyond that. You need to look beyond the temporary rewards, the temporary hardships. You need to look at the end result for obedience. It's always a blessing. And the blessing is found in a closer walk with God. The blessing is found as a greater knowledge of God. The blessing is found in a greater intimacy with God. When you take that step of faith, when you believe God, when you make God's way your way, even though you don't understand it, even though you don't always agree, it always, always results in the blessing. Obedience to God always results in a blessing. And that blessing is a closer walk with God and a greater knowledge of Him. Look what blessing Peter found in his obedience in verse 8 and 9. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished, and all that with him, at the draught of fishes that they had taken." You see, in his obedience, he caught a small glimpse of who Jesus really was. Verse 9 says he was astonished. That word, if you look it up, means more than just being amazed as we use it today. It means he was gripped. He was seized. He was fully contained. We might say that something got a hold of him. He would never be the same again. Peter cries out, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know, Peter had seen a miracle before. This isn't the first miracle Peter witnessed. He witnessed the healing of his mother-in-law. But in his act of obedience here, it led him to a deeper knowledge of who Jesus really was. It led him to a closer walk with him. Can you see it? Obedience always leads to a deeper knowledge and a closer walk. The other two accounts that I mentioned, when Jesus asked the disciples to get into the ship, were the same. They got into the boat at Jesus' command. They obeyed. They made God's way their way. And yes, it led them through a storm. But the end result was worth it all. In Mark 4, they got a glimpse of Jesus' power over nature as he says, "Peace be still," and the winds stop, and the waves stop, and the sea was calm. In Mark 6, their obedience, they were able to see Jesus walking on the water, and they saw the winds cease, and they saw the waves calm down. And Scripture tells us they were amazed beyond measure. They were drawn closer to Jesus Christ. They knew him more fully because they had obeyed him. Peter obeyed Jesus in our account tonight. He got into the boat. He launched out into the deep, even though he thought it was a complete waste of time, even though he was tired, even though it didn't make any sense to him. In his obedience, he experienced a greater knowledge, a more intimate relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and so were you. So will you. Won't you make God's way your way? I ask you a serious question this evening. What blessings have you been forfeiting in your disobedience? Does it make you wonder what blessings you forfeited when you said no to God? You have a chance to walk closer with him. You have a chance to know him more fully. Just obey him. Just make his way your way. Reading on, verse 10 and 11. "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Do you see what one small step of faith does? One small step of obedience leads to the next. By faith, Peter obeyed. He got into the boat and he got a glimpse of Jesus Christ, of who he was. And it gave him the strength. It gave him the strength for the next command. What was the next command? Follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see how one step of obedience, as you get to know Jesus Christ a little more fully and trust him a little more, leads to the next step of obedience, that you can say yes to that. That you can say yes to that. Scripture says these disciples forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. They obeyed. They obeyed the command to come. Obedience, one step at a time. Do you think they would have obeyed the second command to follow him if they would have ignored the first command to launch out into the deep? I doubt it. If they would not have witnessed the great draw to fish and got a glimpse of who Jesus Christ was, I doubt that they would have obeyed the second command to follow him. One act of obedience prepares us for the next one. You see, when Jesus says he who is faithful over little is faithful over much, do you see how it applies? If you just obey God today, you'll get to know him. It'll make your obedience easier tomorrow. One small step at a time. Obey in the little things, and your faith will be strengthened that you can obey the larger commands. Would you grow in faith tonight? Would you walk closer to your Lord and Master? The answer is in obedience. Whether you agree with him or not, whether it makes sense or not, won't you just obey and receive the blessing of a greater intimacy and a knowledge of him? Brother Paul spoke about divorce and remarriage, and I know I've told you this account before, but I'll tell it again. It fits in with tonight's sermon. There was a time in my life that I struggled with the truths about divorce and remarriage. It didn't make sense to me, especially with someone that was already married and what goes along with all the connections. I went to a neighbor's house one afternoon and I explained to him my struggle. And he said to me, "Brian, it's not what you think, it's what God says that matters." He said, "The scripture is plain, whether you can understand it or not right now." He said, "It's not what you think, it's what God says." I accepted that challenge. I said to God, "I don't understand it completely, but I believe it to be true." And he added to that step of faith, the blessing of knowledge, the blessing of understanding that I have of it today. Won't you make God's way your way? There's a great blessing that accompanies obedience. Will you obey God and make his way your way? The scenes here abruptly change as we go to verse 12. We get a view of another man who was willing to make God's way his way. Verse 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And he put forth his hand and touched him, and he said, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Here again, this account, there's a lot we could talk about. The sin of the disease of leprosy, how awful it was. We could talk about Jesus' compassion. And I ask you tonight to focus your attention on the attitude of the leper. How I wish that was my constant attitude. How I wish that it was yours. To be able to say to Jesus, "If you will it. If you will it." Can you see the attitude of submission to the will of God? In the middle of that terrible disease, his probably his only desire is to get rid of it and be healed from it. A disease that caused pain, a disease that caused a living death, a disease that caused separation. Yet the attitude of the leper was, "If you will it." He didn't question Jesus' ability to heal him. He questioned whether it was God's will that he be healed. If you will it. If you will it. He was willing to put his future, his desires, his wills in the hands of the Master. Note the submissive attitude of the leper. Matthew says the leper worshiped him. Mark says the leper knelt at the feet of Jesus And the account here before us tonight in Luke says the leper fell at the feet of Jesus. That's submission. That's worship. And he cries out to Jesus, "If thou wilt, you can make me clean." God help us that that's our attitude. If you will it, O God, whatever you will, I'm okay with. Won't you align your will to God's will? Won't you make your way God's way? In this scene, in this account, I see that beautiful picture of the anointing service. And talking with older ministers, they tell me that there's not as many calls now as it used to be for the anointing service. And then perhaps it's because we don't know what the anointing service is all about. It's not the last rites. It's not only if you're dying. It's not necessarily for miracle healing. Rather, it's a time of self-examination, and it's a time when you're committing your will to God's. It's a kind of consecration and devotion. It's a time when you remember your covenant relationship with God, and it's a time when you commit your will into God's hand. The account, the in Scripture that's often read, the portion of Scripture is from James chapter 5. And we read there that the prayer of faith restores the sick. That's what the anointing does. Restoration. The relationship with between you and God is made stronger in the anointing. As you say to him, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It's making God's will, God's way, our own. And that's exactly what the leper did here in this account in Luke. He fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "If thou wilt, I will accept your will as my will." What about you tonight? In what way are you demanding your will instead of obeying God's will? In what way are you saying, "I won't," when God is asking you to do something? The two accounts for you to think about tonight are the accounts of two men. And each of these men were willing to make God's way their way. Will you do that? Will you make God's way your way? God bless you.
In walking closer to God, Brian's emphasis, first of all, was on it's decision time. And it made me think of an incident that happened with one of my Norristown friends way back in the 1960s. You know, before I tell you that, though, how many of you remember Brother Ed Rice standing right here behind his pulpit and pointing out the fact that Peter's reply was, "Nevertheless, I will let down the net." And Brother Ed shared with us that he didn't think Peter's heart was really in it. Like Brian shared, you know, they toil all night. They were tired. They hadn't caught anything. There's no hope. I got some homework for you. I want you to go home and check that out. I did. Those of you who know the original text and can read more of the original text, most of the other translations use the word nets. But the translation the King James uses the word net. And Brother Ed specifically used that to point out the fact that it wasn't nets. Now, I don't know. I have some homework for you. Dig a little deep and see if it truly does just say net. Getting back to the story, the thought of launch out into the deep. I think Brian challenged us. That's what we need to do when we leave this place. It's deep out there in God's sin-cursed world, and too many times I've reneged on my responsibility. I don't know how about you. But these guys they went swimming. I think they were probably swimming in the Schuylkill River. And this has to do with launching out into the deep. And they were swimming across this river, and I think all of them had made the other shore, and my buddy started to tear. And he felt he couldn't go anymore. And he thought he was drowning. And he started flailing and screaming for help, expecting one of them to dive in and come to save him. And all of a sudden, one of the guys cupped his hands and yelled, "Stand up!" He didn't realize he was in shallow water. All he had to do was stand up. And the essence why I wanted to share that with you, there's solid footing. You can count on it. When Christ challenges us to launch out into the deep, we'll get afraid. We'll fear the deep when we trust on ourselves. But I'll guarantee you there's always solid footing. There's solid footing of the scripture. There's solid footing. Just comes to my mind now. How many times have you or all of us maybe been testifying, making a testimony, and we need that specific point to make, and bang, all of a sudden a scripture comes to your mind, and you use that scripture to the person you're talking to, and later on you wonder, where'd that come from? There's always solid footing when you launch out into the deep. And finally, in verse 15, if you want to turn to Acts 6:7, I pointed this out to you before. You know, sometimes testimony after testimony after testimony can be shared, and sometimes it just takes some significant event. And we're told here that it's in verse 14. He was supposed to go, the cleansed leper was supposed to go to the priest and do what the law of Moses told them as a testimony that he had been healed. Now look at Acts 6:7. It took these guys a long time to get the message, and here's why they got the message. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Do you know what testimony it was that caused them to be obedient to the faith? It was the tearing, the renting of the veil of the temple from the top to the bottom. Some of them had been doing their service and their duty before that veil. And when that veil tore open the Holy of Holies, they should have been struck dead at the snap of a finger. They were not allowed to look into or go into the Holy of Holies. And they realized something significant has happened. Thank you, Brother Brian, for being true and faithful, for the challenges that you give us. And you or I or any child of God never knows when a testimony of ours that could seem so insignificant could be very significant. Shall we stand for prayer?